So the basic question was, things seem to have changed since the beginning of time, since time of Adam, or the first generations from Adam to Noah, and how are we to understand it? So there's a Medrash, the Gemara discusses, where was Chava created from? It says that God took the Tzeila. What is the Tzeila? So one understanding is that Adam was initially created male and female, one side male, one side female, and Tzeila is a side. Just like by the Mishkan, a side of the Mishkan is described, Tzela HaMishkan, the side of the Mishkan. So to Chava Eve was the other side of Adam. And the Kabbalists discuss that this is one of the things that man is supposed to perfect in his lifetime. That initially man and Chava were created looking in opposite directions, back to back. And then God separated them, and now they're face to face, and they're supposed to connect again face to face. We search for our soulmate, we search for our wife, and then connect with her face to face, and that's a hashlama, a completion of creation, a maaseh bereshit. So that's what they stress, and that's the concept that we find also in the Kruvim. That the two angels in the Kodesh HaKodashim were of a young boy and a young girl, and when the Jewish people were doing what they were supposed to, they connected like male and female face to face. So this is a concept that's elaborated upon. But that, it seems like from Adam and Chava onward, it wasn't the godly plan that man should be created that way. It seems like we were not supposed to be created with our wives in our back and then cut apart. That wasn't part of the godly plan. Another understanding, machlokes, another understanding says that Adam was created with a tail. And God took off the tail and made of the tail Chava. Either way, it doesn't seem like we're supposed to be created with tails. Ever since then, we have men and women being born, and I don't know of any indication that man was born with a tail afterwards. We have the... Well, for some reason, God wanted man to be created without a wife, and then have to yearn for a wife, and then God created the wife. It seems like that was part of the godly intent for how the world would be created, that man had to realize that he was lacking something so that he would have the proper appreciation for his wife, which he didn't in the end, which was part of his error, part of his sin. Every other animal was created male and female. Only mankind was created singular, male, and felt lonely. God had a plan, and maybe part of the plan was that Adam should realize that he needs her, because maybe Adam's tendency is to take her for granted, or the male tendency is to take his wife for granted, and so... Yeah, so he needed, it seems like a man needed that evolvement. Now there's a Medrash that says that Adam and Chava were created with a layer of, not skin, but like nail covering their body, and they lost that when they sinned. And that's one evolvement. There's a Medrash that says that up until... there's a Medrash that says that up until Noah, people were created with webbed hands. Noah was the first one to have separate fingers. So that's an evolvement. It seems that the Medrash indicates there was an evolvement. And initially, mankind was not meant to work the ground. So God did not create mankind in a fashion where it was easy for him to make tools and to use his fingers in a way... that would allow him to master the ground easily. And after 10 generations of punishment, God wanted to make it easier, and that's why Noah was called Noah, because they realized, hey, things are going to be easier now. We see that we're evolving. God's allowing us to have separate fingers, and that's going to allow us to make more sophisticated tools and to master the ground more easily. So that's a level of evolvement. Until Noah's time, people seem to have lived a much longer life. When the Torah gives us these numbers of lives of 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years, the question is, what does the Torah mean? So on the simple level, it means that they lived a very, very long life. And Rabbi Resnick once quoted a Medrash. I've yet to see the Medrash. I've seen things similar to what he said, but the actual Medrash that I'm going to quote now that I heard from Rabbi Resnick, I've yet to see inside. He once quoted a Medrash that God gave these extraordinarily long lives to the first generations so that they would master nature. If you want to master the stars, you have to be able to follow them year after year. And God wanted mankind to master nature, so God gave an extra blessing to these first generations so that they could follow plants and learn the ways of vegetation and learn the ways of the land and master nature. And that was a special gift for those 10 generations, which Noach got part of it. The wisdom was widespread, and it was retained to an extent. That's a Midrash he told me once, I've yet to see. The Midrashim, the Rishonim discussed, it's possible that the first generations were closer to Adam or Rishon. Adam was fashioned by God, and as such, his body was perfect. His body wasn't meant to suffer illnesses. And as generations went on, so we got weaker and weaker, and that's why we see that the years went down until finally by the flood, by the Mabul, human nature and the nature of the world changed and mankind would no longer live beyond an average or a maximum, an average maximum of 120, which is what the Pasuk seems to indicate. In the end of Bereshis, Vayu Yamav Ma'abeslim Shana, his average lifespan is going to be 120, which we still don't have. The average lifespan isn't yet 120, but following the flood, it seems that God didn't want us to live beyond that number on average. It doesn't have to be that there won't be exceptions. You know, Aaron lived beyond 120. Aaron HaKohen. So the Torah itself indicates that there were exceptions after the flood. So that's not terrible. The Torah is telling us in general, this is the way it's going to be. Others want to say that the fact that God permitted the consumption of meat weakened the people. And until the time of Noah, people were all vegetarians. And they were much healthier. And as such, they lived much longer lives. And after the flood, where we were permitted to eat meat, so you could say that we needed that because we were less healthy. Or you could say that that itself caused us to be less healthy. Which way it goes, I don't know. If I remember correctly, I don't remember if it's the Rambam or the Ramban, one of the Rishonim writes that itself caused us to be less healthy, and that's what shortened our lives. Others want to say a totally different pshat. They want to say that the earlier generations didn't live these extraordinarily long lives, but rather when the Pasuk says they lived so many years, they had a different way of equating the years. Their year was different. Some want to say that every month was considered a year by them. So then they lived really short lives. 900 years is 900 months. So you do the math. It's not that long a life. Still others want to say that that when the Torah describes these people that lived extra long lives, the Torah isn't telling us the average. The Torah is telling us the exception. Everyone else lived a life of 100 years, 90 years. These were the exceptions of the Torah mentions them. That's another shot that's given also by Rishonim. You could look in Seder Adoros by Rav Halperin. He brings a summary of these opinions.
But there are problems because they got children very late. Say 100, 200.
Right. So that's also discussed. How come they had children at such a late age? How do we understand that? Rashi seems to go with that was the average age, and Rashi goes with the Midrashim that people matured later and therefore they were held accountable in heavens at a later age, and Rashi says that that's why Noah's children were too young to be held accountable. They were all well over 100, but in those days you figure things out differently. That's how Rashi seems to go. Yeah, Benjamin?
It's a good chance I get to ask this question. There's a Midrash talks about Cain and Abel also being born before they were expelled out of Gan Eden.
Right.
I was wondering what the your thoughts on it maybe.
It's not my thoughts. There are two opinions in the Midrash. There's one opinion in the Midrash says that Cain and Abel were born after Adam and Chava were kicked out of Gan Eden, and another opinion says they were born in Gan Eden. That's two opinions. The Midrash says, Alulu mitash taim, two got on the bed, ve'aldu albam, four got off the bed, seeming to indicate that they were born mature adults. Another Midrash says six got off the bed, another Midrash says seven got off the bed. Was it Cain and Hevel, and Cain and Hevel and their twin, Cain and Hevel with Hevel having two twins? Different understandings in the Midrash as to what happened there. We, after discussing all of this, we have to recognize that it isn't clear if all of these stories, even what the Torah tells us about the Garden of Eden, whether it means that they literally happened the way the Pesukim seem to indicate. We don't know. The Pesukim write them very plainly, and the message that we have to take from this story, so that's something we have to learn. But whether the story happened exactly the way the Pesukim seem to indicate or the Midrashim seem to indicate, that really needs clarity. What really happened there?
So, if it happened according to Midrash, I was wondering why would Hashem have the kids go out when they were born, they were innocent in the whole eating the fruit deal, unless they ate the fruit too, and it's just not stated.
So there is a Midrash that says that Chava gave everyone to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. She gave all the animals and everyone ate from the Eitz HaDaas. There's a Midrash that says that Chava, after she ate, gave everyone from the Eitz HaDaas. So maybe that Midrash will go, those two Midrashim will go hand in hand. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Now,